Today's scripture is Proverbs 22:6, Mark 10:1, and Matthew 18:1-6. Pew Bible page 564, 877, and 852. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like the little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." Jesus then left that place and went into the region of Judea and across the Jordan. Again, crowds of people came to him, and as was his custom, he taught them.
Thank you, Logan. Thank you, choirs. That was beautiful. My high school was relatively small, so we had the opportunity to do some things that some larger high schools are not able to do. And one of those things was, in preparation for our annual that was coming out that year, they asked for us to submit photographs of us when we were little. Preferably in that first year or two. And we would submit those, and then the class would go about guessing who was in the picture. This was one of those assignments that I enjoyed. I've always loved photographs, and this gave me a time to sit down with my parents. My mother was very interested in telling some stories about some of the photographs that we pulled out. To draw a modern day parallel, Ian's birthday was this past week, and Stephanie pulled out a photograph of him when he was one and posted it on Facebook and said, "Guess who's turning 14? So this is something mothers do. And it's a wonderful time for you as a family to share in those memories, to try to pull things out. Of course, there are times that don't necessarily get photographed and still these stories get told. And I'll tell you one, you got to keep this one sort of under wraps here. My mother was in her bedroom working at the sewing machine, and she thought that it was okay to leave me and my brother, who's 2 years younger than I am. I forget exactly our ages, but something like 5 and 3 or 6 and 4, somewhere in that territory. My father had recently gotten us a sandbox, and we were just enjoying playing in the sandbox. After a while, my mother started to realize things are unusually quiet. Exactly. So she went from her bedroom down the hallway and got a view of her new couch. We, in our industrious, creative stage, had built a sandcastle on her couch. And so my mother at this point is trying to figure out, how do you reason with two little boys who are so proud of what they've just done? These are the kinds of things that mothers have to deal with all the time. And yet we as parents, we as members of the church community constantly come into relationships with children. That's one of the wonderful things about a church community, that we have people from different ages and you are allowed to interact with people in their 5 and 6-year-old years and those who are in their 80 and 90 years. And these are wonderful things. And we think about the times when we work with children on Sunday morning or Wednesday evening. This church has a wonderful Wednesday evening program. And then, sorry, VBS is right on the round the corner, so that's that time of the year to call for volunteers. But those are wonderful opportunities. Perhaps you remember times in your own life, sitting in Vacation Bible School, participating in that program, the excitement that you get, learning Bible stories, memorizing Bible verses, participating in snack time, or perhaps the fire department sponsors a slip and slide and you're able to have that fun with friends in the community. These are joyous moments, joyous occasions. And I think we learn a lot about adults and how they interact with children. How many of you have been in a restaurant when parents bring in either a newborn or a child about 2 or 3, that time when you as a parent, if you went through that stage, you knew it was probably not a good idea for you to go out at a restaurant. Let's just stay away from restaurants for a couple years and then we'll go back. But these neophyte parents have brought a child in that terrible 2 stage. And what happens if there's that high-pitched cry that touches that nerve in the back of your neck that just drives you crazy? How do you respond? Of course, there are always those adults out there that turn around and scowl. Like, how dare you interrupt my time and my meal? But then there are those adults who have that knowing look. We've been there. We know what you're going through. These are the things I want you to think about as we come to these passages in the Gospels this morning. We think about Jesus' ministry, and we think about all the complicated, painful things that Jesus deals with, all these serious matters, all these points where these are adult matters. Children are not concerned with these things. About meaning in life. About healing infirmities. Or, from the flip side, trying to figure out how to trap Jesus. Because we don't like him. And here, the disciples traveling with Jesus are all caught up in visions of Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the deliverer of Israel. He's going to be the political revolutionary. Children don't have any place in this agenda. Yet Jesus does not entertain any of that. It's very interesting here. Parents now are bringing their children to Jesus to find blessing. Parents trust Jesus. Parents see something in Jesus' ministry that they want their children to see and participate in. And yet, that passage in Mark, that account in Mark, shows us that those disciples near Jesus are like those parents in the restaurant, those adults in the restaurant who feel this is an interruption, who are scowling, who are trying to push these parents and children back and say, no, we don't have time for this. It's very interesting to see how Jesus responds. Jesus gets angry. Jesus tells the disciples, do not hinder them. In other words, get out of the way. You're causing problems here. And then at this point, those telling words, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So once again, The disciples traveling with Jesus, seeing all these things, are in one of these embarrassing moments. You think, well, they really went through the ringer here from time to time. Now they have to pause and think, why did Jesus reprimand us? We quote these verses, be like a little child. It's so simple. And yet, if you hear Sunday school teachers or preachers or theologians trying to explain, well, what does it mean for an adult to be like a child? Then you get all sorts of different accounts. But one of the central points here is that the disciples are taking a position of self-importance. We are caught up in the important matters, and we're going to exclude anyone we think does not fit with what we think we should be doing. And certainly children have a way of upending adult agendas and adult plans. And yet Jesus here is telling us there's something in that interruption, something in the discarding of adult agendas to come back to the simplicity of a child. There's something in that that tells us something about God and how we relate with God. We must return to the basic, profound questions of life that children ask. And we should also think about how we interact with children, how Jesus here is interacting with them. As they come to him, and we see this as a favorite subject for painters over the years, or those doing stained glass, portraying Jesus, there's quite often a scene of Jesus with children. You typically see Jesus seated with a child on his leg or knee, or gathered in closely. He's hugging them. He's showing nurture and kindness to them. And there is that sense that we adults, if we are truly engaged with children, we're sitting down, we're kneeling, we're crouching to come down to their level. And there's a certain amount of humility involved in that. And Jesus is telling his disciples, you must adopt that humility, not this sense of self-importance and self-righteousness and that you have the correct agenda. So then we turn to the passage in Matthew. This passage is very similar. Jesus now is discussing who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Evidently, the disciples love to bring this up because we know of other passages, James and John asking to sit at Jesus' right and left in the kingdom. All of this obviously tied to political ideals of establishing a kingdom like David or Solomon once had. But Jesus is speaking about something entirely different because he's saying, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You think how the disciples might answer that. Could we possibly be greatest in the kingdom? We're traveling with you, Lord. You picked us out. Or are they thinking, well, it's obviously you, Lord, or perhaps it's the Pharisees or the Sadducee leaders in Jerusalem, perhaps they'll be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But instead, what does Jesus do? He invites a little boy to come forward and he places his hand on the boy's shoulder. And we think the boy probably has disheveled hair, some smudges on his face, dirt under his fingernails, perhaps barefooted. And at that point, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. There, we get that added element. There's a call for us to change. We are so wrapped up, obsessed with our adult agendas and our sense of what we think is meaningful in this life. And yet, we're losing the picture here, according to Jesus, that we have grown jaded about the world. We have grown obsessed with money. We have become worried about how we're going to hold up our households various other concerns that weigh us down. And Jesus says, you need to change. You need to recover what you've lost. You need to spend time with children because this is a wonderful, blessed moment. And these moments will teach you things about yourself, about your relationships with other people, and about God. So how often do we take time to value our relationships with children? And we see this in many different instances. And we are told in Proverbs that we have this responsibility of training children so that they will not wander away from that training later. So they will have a guide for their life studying the scripture, as we were talking about in Sunday school or Vacation Bible School or these other opportunities to memorize scripture, to learn the Bible stories, to learn about Jesus, to learn about the church and the Holy Spirit and God the Father's plan. Here, though, Jesus also has a warning, because he also says there, in some of the weightiest words in the gospel, some of the darkest words in the gospels, to think about this: if anyone causes one of the least of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. And we know, we've heard, we see in the media some of the saddest statistics ever when we move into the territory of the abuse of children. And we do everything that we can, or we should, do everything that we can to try to head that abuse off. And we, as the church community, should be looking for ways to reach out and to encourage people to love their children and to value those relationships, to value those insights. Because God certainly will be keeping a record of wrongs for those that abuse children. And God will defend those who cannot speak for themselves. Our time with children is one of the greatest gifts of life. Many mothers know this. As we've already said, Mother's Day can bring forward pain for quite a number of people. If you never knew your mother, if your relationship with your mother was tenuous or complicated or antagonistic, this may be a difficult day for you. This may be a difficult day for you if you've lost your mother or your mother is currently sick. Or a difficult day for you if you've wanted to be a mother and that door has not opened. And yet we understand in the Christian community, women have the capacity to be mothers to the children who are in the children's department, in the youth department. There are multiple ways to serve and to nurture and to mother those who are in our communities. Teachers have this wonderful opportunity in the classroom in different ways. And so you've got to understand here, once again, Jesus himself was not married. He was not a father. He did not have that experience of growing up with children. And yet here he drew the children around him and he blessed them and he encouraged them. Obviously, he's the Son of God, but he calls us to follow in his footsteps and to do the same. And also to recognize that in that relationship, there will be spiritual blessings. We often talk about different relationships in the church to illustrate spiritual truths. We hear the relationship between the husband and wife, like Christ and his church. But here, Jesus himself says the relationship between an adult and a child is a beautiful one, one that tells us something about God. And it is something that we need to remember on this day and all days to draw close to God, to encourage our children, and not let these moments pass by. May we not hear Jesus tell us, get out of the way. But let us be there with them and say, let the little children come to us so that we may love them and encourage them. This morning we come now to our time of invitation and commitment, hymn number 157. The closing prayer will actually follow communion, but at this point, our hymn is here for you to make your individual commitments. Christ is calling each of you to serve in His kingdom. And this is a point, if you've never made that commitment before, if you want Christ to be a part of your life, then please come forward and this church will pray for you, encourage you as you seek to be a disciple. This is also a time for each of us who've already made that commitment, who've gone through the waters of baptism, to recommit ourselves to finding God's will in our lives and to look for ways to encourage the children in our community as we stand together and sing hymn number 157.